I just want to thank Scott, Carolyn, and Stephanie for the things that you said today. It's hard to get up here and to talk right now, just thinking back and you reminisce about things. And I don't know what would have happened without the three of you, because I knew that, as Stephanie was saying, that God was leading us to start this church, but he knew that I desperately needed my wife, Stephanie. I needed Scott and Carolyn, and we needed our kids, and we needed God most of all to do anything. This only happens because of that. You know, you start to think about things, and the reality is there is no pride or like, look what we did, because this has really been a journey of watching God do something. It's been a miracle to us to witness that God would take care of us and allow us the honor of serving his children. And the whole honor is totally ours. It's totally ours that we have been able to be involved in this at all. And the fact is, it's you guys. You're the miracle. And the miracle that we see is you guys are being called by God. You're developing relationships with God. You're engaged in serving God. And we just get to be a part of it. We get to watch it happen in so many people's lives. And that's what's amazing to me about this whole journey, is just that God has brought us here together. And like Scott said, we didn't know you, but we love you. And, you know, you learn things through ministry that whoever God is calling, it's great. And one of the things that we had known from the beginning when God had called us into ministry was this wasn't about us, it was about him. And you're his kids, and that's the important relationship to always remember. And we're never here to take control of that. We're always here to encourage that, to not get in your way from your relationship with God. And so if somebody came for a week, we would do our best to serve them that week. If they came for a month, let's do our best to serve them for a month, a year, whatever we had. And people have come in and out of this congregation, and we've learned the lesson that you love those who God puts before you. You're not there to control them or count them as a number. There's nothing like that that was ever a part of this, nor will ever be in our hearts and our minds, because each of you is a child of God. Each of you was made in the image and likeness of God. And it's our privilege, if we can encourage you in your relationship with Jesus Christ or God at all, that's what this church is about. That's it. To give glory and honor to the God who made us, to preach his word as faithfully as we can, and to be loving and encouraging of everyone. But you see, it's not just the four adults and the five kids that started this. And man, there was so much work and effort that went into that. But look at all the work and effort. And I look around at this church, and what is so amazing to me is it goes totally against the Pareto principle. You know, the 20% of the people do 80% of the work. If I asked everybody who's ever served in this church to stand up, I think except for the newer people that are here, everybody would stand up. Because I see people reading scriptures, and I see people on the worship team, and I see people ushering, and I see people teaching the kids and doing Bible school, and I see people preparing food and serving food and hospitality. I just look around, it's happening all the time. And it was one of the visions when we were praying about this church on that day, was that God would make us a church where it would look like Ephesians 4, that we would just be helpers, because ultimately the body would edify itself in love. And that's the miracle that I get to see, that what was not existing came into existence, and what it came to be was the things that God showed us that day. Carolyn mentioned the scriptures, and I want to actually go through some of these scriptures with you today and just kind of remember who we are and what we're resetting here today. So if you could turn with me to the book of Zechariah. This was a verse that Carolyn brought forward. She alluded to this in talking about the return to Jerusalem. But in Zechariah chapter 4, and it says here in verse 6, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." These verses were so important in the beginning for me personally, because I had some people that I love and respect come to me and say, "What are you doing? What are you doing starting this church? Don't you realize that the church is in decline? And don't you realize that people don't want to be going to churches that talk about keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus?" Because from the very beginning, that was the goal. the byline for the church, here is the patience of the saints. That is, this is what the saints continually do. They keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. He said, what are you doing? And I remember knowing that his words were all in love. It was all with concern, like you're setting yourself up for failure. The thing is that what is hard sometimes for people to understand is that when you know that you're called by God to do something, it really doesn't matter what anybody else says. It really doesn't matter. But the truth was, I knew he was right. Churches were in decline. Less people were going to church. Churches that actually kept the commandments of God were in decline. In the United States, the whole thing was in decline. And, you know, the average church was down to 60 people. That's still about the average church in the United States. It's about 60, 70 people. That's about it. He said, it'll be a huge success if you're 60 people. And I remember thinking, that's not why we're doing this. It has nothing to do with the numbers of people. It has everything to do with following God. And it's not going to be anything that we do. It will always be of Him. And even when people have said, well, how did you start a church that keeps the Sabbath? Like, that's hard to get people to keep God's commandments. And that you teach these things and people come. It's like, there's no secret. It's what He wants to do. And if He wants to do it, it will happen. And if He doesn't want to do it, it won't happen. And that's it. The purpose and the power behind it, it's not by power or by might. It's by His Spirit. If anything happens, it will be because He wants it to happen. And all we can do is be along for the ride, be available to Him. And but this was the verse that when Carolyn read this, this is the one that has stuck with me. And I never forget this. It's in verse 8, that the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. And then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? The four of us were sitting on the floor on our knees, going through these verses and praying in the family room at my house. And when Carolyn said, who will despise the day of small things? It was like God was saying, you need to remember this, David. You need to remember this. Don't despise the day of small things. You know, every one of us in our lives, we begin small, really tiny. We all begin from a small, small beginning. And every one of us in that beginning is an amazing miracle of life. I mean, think of the odds of you even being here. The right egg, the right sperm, somehow you were the winner. You were the combination that came to be, that came to be alive. When God took you and put you together to knit you in the womb, you were the winner. God knew you before the foundation of the world. He was forming you in your mother's womb. He was making you into who He wanted you to be. You are going to be part of His creation. I mean, that alone should just blow us away when you think about what we went through to get to this point. It's amazing. The odds of you existing, it's amazing. He combined that one sperm cell with that one egg, and you became. And He's been working on you ever since. And see, the reality of what church is understanding who we are and how we came to be. And then as we live our lives, we understand how we come to be, finding not an identity of the things of human beings of this world, but finding an identity in Jesus Christ and knowing who we are and why we're here. It brings us to this place. I love that we have a place where people can come to worship God. Where we can strive to encourage one another to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Where we can build one another up. Where we can show people the Word. Where we can share in the good things that God has given to us. That we might edify one another and build each other up. Because as we see who we are and as we see who God is, it changes all the ways we think, all the ways we believe, all the ways we behave. And we become His kids in whom He delights. And He says, look at them. They're humbling themselves before My word and they want to do what I say. That was always the call of God when he brought his children out of Egypt. He said, how long will you refuse? And when I look in this room, I see a bunch of people that say, no, no, I don't refuse. I choose. I choose to follow you. One of the greatest miracles and delights is getting to be a pastor in a church where people come and I say, hey, how are you? What brought you here today? And they say, well, I was reading my Bible. I love that. I was reading my Bible. How many of you are at this church because I came and knocked on your door and asked you to be here? How many of you? None. Okay, Stephanie is right. I did. But Scott and Carolyn, they volunteered. I dragged Stephanie in. She was conscripted. They volunteered. But the thing is, how many of you came here because you did read in your Bible and you wanted to be a part of this church or at least come visit this church because of what you read? Yeah. Because God opened your mind. God worked with you. That wasn't a work of David, Stephanie, Scott, and Carolyn and our kids. That was because of God, and that never changes. Coming to a church doesn't change the principle and primary relationship that this is not by power or might, but it is by God's Spirit. That's how the mountains are laid to waste. That's how God moves in our lives. It is always by Him. And what we are is a brotherhood. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And the church is a brotherhood of coming together, realizing who we are, and encouraging each other to keep going on. Don't be content with where you are today. Seek His face. You can know Him more. Draw near to Him. He will draw even closer to you. We never want to be retreating. We always want to be seeking. That's why He says, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking, and you will find. And the door will be open to you, and it will be given. This is the God we serve. He's not a God of complacency. He's not a God of laziness. Jesus said, I am working and my Father has been working. The work is you and me to believe, and our work with each other is always that we would be believers. Not by power or by might, but by my Spirit. And who is to despise the day of small things? For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord. Who are the seven? Revelation 5:6, the eyes of the Lord. Who's delighting to see it? God. What are we here doing? Seeking to be a delight in the eyes of the Lord that He may rejoice. See, the passion that we have for God is that because of an appreciation for who we are being made by God and the salvation that He afforded us through Jesus Christ, that we could in some way give back to Him the things that He has given to us, our lives. That's it. To give our lives back to Him and to not despise the day of small things, but let Him be God. Turn with me over to Psalm 127, verse 1. This is a verse that I remember Stephanie gave. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. In other words, if God wants to, so be it. That was our prayer. God, if you want this to happen, make it happen. We will be available, but make it happen. It's up to you. The power is all yours, and we don't want to build anything nor toil in anything that's going to be just vanity. But if we can be of help to anyone, so be it. And in the desire to help others, the transformation and miracle happened here. And that's the amazing thing about what you get when you come to a church. As all of you are serving others, you're being a blessing and a help to others. But all of you, as you're serving, you're being changed by it. You learn about the humility of coming before and saying, my life is to be spent for others. And there's no greater joy than finding it is more blessed to give than to receive. I love that this church is a serving church. I love that you come with a heart to take care of one another. I love that you love each other and seek to find ways to be a blessing to others. I want to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Because when I think about where the church is and what we are to continually do, I think it's always important for us to remember what the heart is for each of us in this church. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." You know, when I think about the heart and essence of what we want to be as Rock Valley, it's always been that. It has always been that. As God was calling me into ministry, one of the biggest requests I had of him was to not make me take offerings from people to be able to do this. I never wanted to take money from people because I didn't ever want the money to cloud any part of the ministry. And the thing is, as we look at this church, it is still a volunteer work. Doesn't mean we don't need offerings. We still have lots of expenses. We still have lots of things that go on. But Stephanie, Scott, Carolyn, and I haven't received a penny for what we do, and nor was that the purpose in starting this church. Nor was there anything other than just saying, "God, if you can use us, please do." But the thing that he wrote here, and the thing that we can see in the Apostle Paul, when he would go from town to town and he would work his own industry to try to help not only provide for himself, he said he provided for those who were with him by his work, but then he was preaching the gospel and working in the churches. It was always the desire to do it because of love, because of a willingness to serve God. And that's what I love about what I see in you as a church, that you have a desire to serve, and it's not about money, and it's not about prestige, and it's not about recognition. It's because you want to love and serve people. And we should always pray that we would have the humility to never let any of the nonsense cloud out where we always need to be humble before God, lowly in mind, lowly in spirit, esteeming the interests of others better than ourselves, and giving all glory and praise to God. You see, if we stay on that track, we're going to stay on the right track, because it'll cause us to listen to his voice. It'll cause us to listen to his word. It will cause us to make the decisions of how we use our time and our lives for the good of others. And the thing that God wants us to always be recognizing is that we are working together. And you say, "Well, David, you and Scott are pastors here. You're shepherding this church." Yes, but realize that you also have authority that has been given to you when God gives you gifts to lead what you do. You know, Izzy gets up here and he leads the worship. We have worship leaders besides Izzy that are here. When they're making decisions, they have the authority to lead. And the heart that you give to the service is for the good of the body. When Brian and Stephanie say, "Hey, we want to do a camp thing and we want to do that," they have the lead. See, that's where we can say, "Well, here's counsel, here's encouragement," but really, we have to come under their authority in what they're doing. And as a body of believers, we must realize that the body works together. There are some pastors, there are some apostles, there are some evangelists, there are some teachers, there are some administrators, there are some with many different gifts. The body recognizes that it's not a one over authority except for him. There's the authority in all things. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. And the authority that we have to pastor is limited. To serve is limited. It is not about the person. It is about the service and the honor that we give to Christ when we will lay down our lives and sacrifice for someone else. And the heart and the mission of this church, this is about Jesus. He was not doing this under compulsion. He did it because he loves. And may our service always be in humility out of love for one another. because we want to. Because we're taking the time to consider others better than ourselves. And we're realizing that when we come to a group like this, friends, you're looking at the children who God saved. Look around. People in the front, look at the people in the back for a minute. People in the back, look at the people. Turn around to look at you. You're looking at the children of God, created in His image and in His likeness, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And when we remember that, it changes everything about what we do in our lives. Because you're like, well, wait, we have this. Let's take care of them. Let's nurture what this is. But then, God, could you bring more? Could you help us reach out to others? Could you help us? Because we know that we too are not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. See, that's a heart that drives. That's a heart that says, God, I want what you want for every person. I'm on your side. See, when you walk through the doors and you greet people, and I see the love that you shower on people when they come to visit, I see a people that gets it. That says, it's not about me, it's about serving the people that God is bringing to Him. And whatever we can do to help them on that path, we want to be involved in it. You know too much. You have too much. And you take of what God has given you, and you are a blessing to other people. It is truly my honor to be among such a group of people as you, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe in the promises of our Father in heaven, who have received of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and you just want to share that with people. I look around this room right now, and I'm like, man, how many people are in this room who just love God and who just want to honor Him and serve Him, and they're giving of themselves to do just that. Thank you, God. Thank you for a wonderful group of people. And thank you that I get to be a part of this group. It is truly a blessing. Turn with me over to Isaiah 56. This was a verse that Scott brought up on our first meeting. Isaiah chapter 56. Do you remember that, Scott?
Indeed.
Okay, good. Because sometimes I remember what Scott teaches better than he remembers what he teaches. True story? Isaiah chapter 56, verses 7 to 8, it says this: For even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, Yet I will gather to Him others besides those who are gathered to Him. From the beginning, Rock Valley was built on prayer. The secret is to talk to God and to ask of Him. The secret is to say, God, will you bring? Will you evangelize? Every time I would put on worship music and be thinking about the church, praising God and sowing to the heavens blessings to God with a desire that He would pour blessings on somebody else. And if we could be of any service to them, that He would bring them our way. Very simple prayer. I never went and knocked on your door. I was asking God to do that. The prayer of this church hasn't changed. It is still asking God, because only God can open a mind. Only God can make someone see that Christ is Lord. It comes from God. What drives you to start saying, I want to keep your commandments, Jesus? I want to walk in your ways. I want to let go of the things of this world. I want to let go of the things of this life. I just want to follow you. See, that's a spiritual thing that comes from a calling, that comes from above. It's not an intellectual pursuit. It is not carnal reasoning or rationale. It comes from God in heaven who says, this is the way, walk you in it. This is the way to go. So if God is the one who opens the minds, then the best effort we can make is make sure that we are continually praying for people's minds to be opened. Stephanie talked about the kids that maybe have come to Rock Valley and are no longer following the Lord. We don't stop praying for them. But there's all kinds of kids all over that need Jesus Christ. They're God's kids. We can offer up prayers for them. And I love it when somebody comes in. I look over here at Michael, and what a beautiful testimony you gave recently. And I'm still getting feedback on that from people I know around the country. But that's a God thing. And I didn't know that I was praying for you, but I was praying for you before I ever met you. Because where we started was just, God, would you work in people's lives? God, would you get involved in people's lives? I didn't know who they would be. It didn't matter, but I knew that giving the time to God to ask. And then we found each other. And now we're brothers. Because God said, all right, I'll put you together. And you come in and you bring encouragement to us. And hopefully we are offering encouragement to you. But that's just one. And every family and every person that comes here can bring this very thing to this church. And that's what you're doing. And God delights in that. Because you come to give. You come to serve. You come to share the things that God is doing in your life. And it's been an honor to see it and to witness it. That's why we talk about it. As Scott said when he read these verses and when we talked about it, my house will be called a house of prayer. But verse 8, the Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. That's the prayer I'm asking all of us to always pray. That God will gather yet others besides those who are gathered to us. That it's good that we're here, but it's also good that we keep praying the prayer. And we're all in this together for the good and the glory of the Lord God Almighty. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll finish with this. Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning here in verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You know, if you could understand that my heart toward you and the heart of this church toward you, and whether you've been here for just a little while or for a long while, it has always been to encourage you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. That's it. I just want to help you be where you need to be. Somebody said something to me the other day in regard to people saying, I know people are going to come through this church. The delight is somebody is going to be raised up in this church at some point. I know it's going to happen. And they're going to say, I'm called by God to go start a church. And we are going to rejoice in that. And we are going to bless that person. And we are going to be helpful and supportive of that person going out and raising up that church. Because what we want is for people to take their calling and go out. Not that we don't want you here, but I know that part of the process is you're going to go out. You're going to raise up churches. You're going to do the things God has called you to do. And when he speaks to you to do it, go. Hear his voice and go. Some of you are going to be staying here. Some of you are going to be ministering here. Some of you are going to be working with children's ministries. Some of you are going to be involved in working with the orphans and working with the widows and the people that need help and the elderly. And some of you are going to be worshiping God with song and leading people in musical worship. And some of you are going to be filling roles of teaching. And some of you are going to be serving. Some of you are going to be doing some grunt work. I mean, it's amazing. Like when we started the church, hey, we had to clean every toilet. We had to do the sound. We had to open up. We had to lock up. We know. I've done every role. I haven't done the streaming. That's true. But most roles we've done, and the roles don't matter as long as you do the role to the glory of God. Sometimes people ask me, well, what is this whole thing about submission and following in the Bible, whether it's masters and servants? And why does God even address that? Because to God, what he wants to see of us humans is how we fulfill the role we play in this world. Whether it's as a leader or as a follower, how do you fulfill it? Because that's it. There are bosses and there are
employees, there are leaders, and there are followers. There's no right or wrong in that. See, the world looks at it as like, no, no, you don't want to follow. You know what? I'll follow Jesus Christ all day long. Because I'd rather be a fool for Christ and a follower of Him than a fool for this world leading me to destruction. And the thing is that the one who I follow gave His life to build me up. Why wouldn't I want to follow Him? And the thing is that for each of us, we should be encouraging one another to take of the callings and gifts that God gives and go forward with that. Some will stay and some will go. But while we're here together, maybe this group will never be together again. Just all these exact people that are here, I don't know. But what I do know is that when you're here, we pray that God would bless you, that God would reveal Himself to you, that God would help you to know your calling, that God would lead and guide you in the way to go, that we could be of help and encouragement to you, because you are a miracle of God. You are. And the things that you do, that you might say, well, what does it matter? It matters. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't despise the things that maybe men would look down on, but that you are doing to fulfill your role in the body of Christ and fulfill your role to your family, to your children, and to fulfill your role to one another in this place. You don't know what impact you're going to have on another person. You don't know what it might mean down the road. But make yourself available for God for what He can do through you. And you may be amazed to look back years from now and say, wow, look what happened. Look at the people that I've got to spend time with, that I've become friends with. Look at the people that I now know. It's a blessing and an honor. And He says here, with all lowliness and gentleness, verse 2, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. My brothers and sisters, thank you for doing this. I love coming to Rock Valley because you guys do this. I look and I say, look at the way they serve. I told the people down in Dallas, I gave a sermon in regard to prayer, and I said, you know, one of my favorite things is after church, I'm talking to somebody and I start looking around and I see people praying for other people all over this sanctuary. It's like one of the best feelings in the whole world to realize there is love going on. You care enough about each other to take the time to pray for one another, to thank God for the good things and to ask for His help in the things that you're struggling with. That's a great thing, that you're willing to lay down your life for one another with loneliness. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, you and me, guys, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. For when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and He gave gifts to men. He took His captive for Himself and said, here you go. Go use it. Use what I've given you. And now this, He ascended. What does it mean? But He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And He who descended is also one who ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. May we never lose that focus. These were the verses that we read that I brought on that first meeting, that we would have a church that's doing this. It is still the message today, and it is what I'm seeing in your lives. Thank you for being a part of this church. Thank you for bringing your gifts and sharing them. Thank you for what each of you add to one another. Thank you for your humility, your lowliness, your patience, your long-suffering with one another. Thank you for making the effort to endeavor, to persevere, to keep a spirit of peace and bring about unity, not by trying to get everybody to agree with you, but by loving every person who is here and sharing the Word of God in love with one another. I thank God for you. I'm happy to be a part of this church and see the miracle that God is doing in your lives. It is truly an honor to be a part of your life and to serve you, because I can see where God is leading you, and I know where you will be in the resurrection of the dead. You will be the children of God, heirs of God, and joiners with Jesus Christ in the kingdom forever and ever. And to say, I got to know them when he was transforming them, is one of the best things a servant can hope to be a servant to a child of God. It's an honor indeed.